Final hour on this Thursday. Next Man Up 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start off hour number three going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As we are joined, as we are weekly during the Vandy football season, by the voice of Vanderbilt football, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, thanks again for coming on. Great win for Vandy over the weekend to start the season.
Yeah, what's up, Jake?
Doing well. Excited to get out to Blacksburg with you this weekend. Should be a fun one. I know that Charleston Southern, not exactly a world beater to start the season, but you win 45-3. What did you see from Vanderbilt that you think sets them up for back-to-back tough road games here early in the year?
Defensive execution. It's going to get difficult versus Virginia Tech and Kyron Cronus. It's going to get difficult. First things first, but then second versus Lenora Sellers with Columbia. But one of the things that we talked about a ton on our broadcast right here on 102.5 The Game, Jake, was the fact that Vanderbilt executed defensively. Very little was busted from a coverage standpoint. They gave up 3 points, which in your back pocket, when you give up a field goal up 45-0 with 7 seconds to go in the game, like, number one, first and foremost, I guarantee you those guys are like, it's okay, we didn't stop them. But there's like a corner of their heart that's like, come on, man. Come on, you just kicked a field goal down 45-0. Again, it's like not bunting with a perfect game in the eighth or ninth, right, but it is bunting with a perfect game, like in the fifth maybe. So otherwise, they play great defensively. They forced a couple of turnovers. They didn't need anybody to have 10 or 15 tackles. Like, they just executed defensively. I think when you go on the road in difficult environments, if you can hold that true, if you can hold the defensive execution where it needs to be, like, that's at least going to push these games into the fourth quarter, and then we'll see where it goes.
On the other side of the ball, you mentioned to us last week about the excitement around the wide receiver position and some of the new additions there. Caleb Barnett, they showed that fly motion, and he had the touchdown on the little touch pass. They did it again later in the game. How important can he be, and how much of a weapon can he be in these next couple of games? Maybe not even with the ball in his hands, but just having shown these teams that, and maybe can play off of it against the Hokies and the Gamecocks.
Well, I think it's Caleb Barnett, Jake. I think it's Trey Richardson. I think it's the speed that they've shown offensively with those guys. I think they had decent speed last year, Jake. I don't know that they had Trey Richardson speed. I don't know that they had Caleb Barnett speed. Neither one of those guys are 6'4" and can go run like that and then jump for the football 40 yards down the field, but they are incredibly fast. They are, like, you know, pushing world class fast. The stat that we've given on Trey Richardson is the fact that he runs a 10.300 meter and Tyreek Hill runs a 10.1. So Trey Richardson is like just a tick slower than one of the fastest guys in the NFL. I think that bodes well as much as anything, because that's going to put the defenses that they're going to go up against like on their back heels a little bit. If you're geared up for that level of speed and all of a sudden you've got one wrong step, well, that's all you need offensively to pick up 5 to 10 yards or perhaps create an explosive play. And then within all of that too, Jake, is the guy that like we've almost not talked about enough because he's so good. Like, we're learning the new players, but Eli Stowers remains like in the best possible way one of those freak level athletes with his size, his strength, and he can run with guys to an extent. He can run with guys like Caleb Barnett down the field and use that size. So there's a lot of offensive speed at the wide receiver and tight end position, which I think at least can create some chaos in the minds of opposing defenses.
Andrew Allegretta is with us here on Next Man Up with Jake Lyman. Andrew, kind of sticking with the offensive side of the ball, looking at the running back room, Cedric Alexander, just the run game in general. Obviously, you know, last week South Carolina held to 119 yards rushing. Vandy had 201. Do you see Vandy kind of striking the iron while it's hot and still using that variety of the run game? Or do you think it gets more one to two dimensional when it comes to Cedric Alexander and Diego Pavia?
I mean, that's a good question. I think you're coming off a Charleston Southern game in which, you know, what Vanderbilt puts on tape is the smallest of slices of what they can do, what they intend to do, what is the best version of their offense. To Jake's point, like, you showed that with Caleb Barnett. You showed that Diego Ponfia could have an 80% completion percentage versus the Bucs going 20 for 25. He's done that before, but the way that he threaded the needle and kind of pushed the football into the gaps of the zone down the field or whatever it happened to be, trying to stretch the defense some. Not that he's never done it, but there appeared to be an elevation of his passing ability. So I think if anything for Vanderbilt, like, they put enough variety on tape for these games against Virginia Tech versus South Carolina. I think when push comes to shove, it's like number two is going to have the football. Diego Pavia is going to have the football, and it's not it's not totally make it up as you go, but you're going to entrust this guy that knows the offense really well, who is just magical in the clutch, to try to figure out what the best play in the moment is. So some of that might be Cedric Alexander. I mean, Cedric Alexander is going to be the primary running back unless something happens or physically he can't do it or whatever it is, but he's the primary running back. I think when push comes to shove, the run game is going to go through Diego Pavia. It's going to go through Cedric Alexander, and they are going to try to keep enough of a variety throughout the course of the season that Diego and Cedric stay healthy in games 10, 11, and 12, which were not the case last year.
Sticking with variety, going to the defensive side of the ball now, it just looking at this Vandy defense and how they can just bring different, you know, just aspects to the opposing team with Kyren Drones back there throwing two interceptions last week, just what difficulties does this defense bring? You mentioned, you know, everybody's all hats to the ball type thing early on in this segment, but it just seems to be that Drones is a big factor, not only in the air, but with his feet. And it's just, Vandy's one of those teams that can do both.
Yeah, Drones will be interesting. I think what I noticed watching some of that South Carolina game with Virginia Tech is how willing they were to put the football in Drones' hands on like third down and two and third down and three and say, go run and get us the first down. Coach Lee talks a ton about improving their third down percentages from a season ago, because they weren't actually very good. It got rough, like versus Texas and LSU, and those teams are good. But to minimize Drones, Vanderbilt's success will come on first and second down. Like, if you're putting Drones, and he can pass, he's got a great arm. He's big, he's strong, he can be accurate, but like he can miss occasionally. And if Vanderbilt can find success on first and second down and put Drones in spots where he's going to have to be more of the passer and his legs are a little bit less of a factor, you know, that's where Vanderbilt can get after it. And they can use the pass rush of Nick Rinaldi or Miles Capers, who had the strip sack last week versus Charleston Southern. They can use some of that defensive line depth that they brought in through the transfer portal to get after Drones and just make them uncomfortable. So, I mean, that's kind of football 101, right, guys? But, you know, success on first and second down defensively is probably what will prompt Vanderbilt to have success through the whole game, because they can leverage things in third down.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Commodore is taking on Virginia Tech on Saturday. Andrew, I know we've discussed this ad nauseum about how after last year you don't mark wins and losses before the games are played, because you just never know. But when you look at the schedule, this just feels like one of those games that Vandy has to win in order to get to where they want to be at the end of the year. Do you feel some urgency in the building heading into this game that they know, hey, we beat them last year, they're going to want some get back, and we've got to go in there ready to roll? Or does it kind of feel like just another game week?
I love you, Jake, right? Like, I love you. Like, I love the whole, like, hey, I know we talked about this exact thing not being true, but is this exact thing being true this week? I sense a team that is focused on success, and that is not coach speak. I felt a team at practice on Tuesday when I was able to get out there, just locked in on the team and the game in front of them. So much in, like, obviously you and I, Jake, know the Virginia Tech environment and the history there. And like, there's all this conversation about what it means for, you know, Vanderbilt in the arc of a season, and then what's the environment like, and are you going to play against the 66,000, or are you going to play against the 11 in front of you? Like, I think Clark has done a pretty good job of boiling things down to, like, here are your brothers. You're going to step on the field with 10 of your other brothers. Can you execute the play that is called this down and then the next down? And then if you can do those things, all of the other nonsense around you tends to not matter quite as much. So I just sensed a pretty focused team on the mission in front of them. That doesn't mean it's going to go perfectly on Saturday, obviously. Like, you make a mistake early and 66,000 can jump on you pretty quick. And it's a good Virginia Tech team. Like, you can't afford mistakes stacking up on you. But I just get the sense of a team that's like, we're here for business. And I think that's a pretty notable change from Vanderbilt football, perhaps in the past 5 to 10 seasons.
Andrew, always appreciate you coming on. Excited for the game this weekend. Again, everybody out there can listen right here on 102.5 The Game, pregame at 5 and kickoff at 6:30. Andrew, I'll see you down there in Blacksburg.
You will. I don't want to chew up too much of your time, but, like, I know Vandy fans are going. Like, do you want to give them a recommendation of what they should do?
Oh, yeah.
In the hours leading up? Because you and I both know that town pretty good.
That is a good idea. Yeah.
Hit them with a recommendation for all of our Vandy fans going to Blacksburg.
Yeah, Vandy fans, if you want to go out in Blacksburg, if you're traveling to the game, Andrew, correct me if I'm missing anything here. I would say good lunch spots, PKs, the Cellar. I'm trying to think of anything else kind of in that area. Sharky?
Yeah, I mean, you do the downtown walk there. Because
right.
You're going to get PK's, the Cellar. You're going to get Sharky's. You're going to get a bunch of stuff, Cabo Fish Taco in that walk
right,
area.
Right, yeah.
If you want to do quintessential, like, Blacksburg-y bar thing.
Hokie House.
Go to Tots. You can go to Tots. I'm partial to a restaurant called Lefty's.
It's good.
It's a little bit down the road, but I'm a fan of that. And if you're floating through, like hit me up. I'm going to be floating through that town a little bit, trying to say hi to some folks. So I didn't want to eat up too much of your time, Jake, but I know plenty of Vandy fans are going. So there's a lot of choices to just kind of soak in the game day atmosphere on that downtown stretch, which, you know, it's not Nashville. You can do that loop in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Yes, and for a lot less money, too.
That's
so,
right.
Yes, I agree. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. And, yeah, if you're out there in Blacksburg, either find Andrew, find me. We'll be roaming around.
Take it easy, Jake.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, joining us for his weekly visit. Commodores and Hokies coming up on Saturday night.
Man, I would like to go to Blacksburg now. This sounds like a food tour galore.
It is, just as Andrew said, it's your quintessential, like, college town. Like, it's like a 3-block stretch with 10 to 15 bars and restaurants. PK is the Cellar. Those would be my two recommendations. I will likely be a patron at both of those restaurants over the next couple days.
What does PK serve?
PK's, if you go to PK's, you want wings and pizza. That is the go-tos there.
That sounds like a restaurant I would want to hit up,
yeah,
personally.
The Cellar is more like your sandwiches, pizza, calzones, kind of, like that kind of place. If you want a good burger, Sharky's, that's kind of where you go. Hokie House. We're just giving Nashville a tour of Blacksburg for the few people out there listening who might be there this weekend. So if you do, there are your recommendations. Again, appreciate Andrew coming on. 5 o'clock pregame, 6:30 kick, Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech on Saturday night, right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little more Vandy football on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.